with a Torah that I heard from that. I think I even heard this from my Rebbe, Shlita. I always try to say Torah in his name, but this shir is mostly based not. But this is just Likanis Yimacha Medvarim. This isn't what I actually want to say. We know on the Purim there's a din of a city that was walled until from the time Yehoshua ben Nun. And it's well known that the riddle, what's Yehoshua ben Nun's father's name? Nun, right? Funny name. In any event, I mean, it's only funny if you never heard of it before, but his father's name was Nun. In any event, what classifies a city as walled from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun? We know. If it had a wall from the Yehoshua ben Nun and you're living in that city, then it's considered Mukaf Mos Yehoshua ben Nun, and when do you read? You read on the 15th. So in theory, if Kew Gardens Hills was walled from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, you'd be reading on Tesvav. You'd have Purim on Monday. But we don't want to have Purim on Monday because then everyone goes to work and then Purim's a regular day. Since here they made Purim on Sunday. Sunday's, like I like to call it, Shabbos Shnia Shel Galios. You know, you have it. So, good. Now let's say you have a city that had houses and then came the wall. Is that considered a wall from the time Yehoshua ben Nun? First there were houses there and then came the walls. The answer is no. It has to be first the walls and then the houses. Jeremy, you want to sit in a place that's not so crowded? You can have a better view. Not that I'm still such a good-looking guy, but in theory, yeah, sit up front. It's okay. There's no, there's nothing. Just so. It's considered mukaf Yehoshua ben Nun. First, it was mukaf, and then it was settled. But let's say first it was settled. First, you had 10,000 houses. And then you built the wall. It's not mukaf me, Mos Yehoshua ben Nun. Good. So let's say you have a city that had 10,000 houses and then you put a wall around it. Is it considered a wall from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun? No. But let's say you have a building project. In Israel, they're always having building projects, which is how we get our enemies who want us out of the country, in the sea, and dead, to build houses for us so we can continue living there. Isn't that great? And we pay them like 8 shekel an hour. It's great. So they still haven't realized that what we're up to. You know, they're happy, they can afford their cigarettes, and we're happy that we have our houses, and then they're like trying to get rid of us. I'm like, if you really want us out, why do you keep building us more houses and like paving our roads? In any event, that was a political commentary aside type of thing. So you have 10,000 houses, and then you get some Ahmeds, Muhammads, Yosefs, and all these other gentlemen to come in, and they build 9,900 houses. What's the din? After it was already walled. It still says the Bir Halacha, you go after the Rov. Azlinan Basar Ruba, you go after the Rov. If most of the houses came before Yudalit, came before the wall, then they read on Yudalit. If most of the houses came after the wall, you read on Tesvav. So let's say you would have a city that before Yehoshua ben Nun came around, they had 1,000 houses. And then Yehoshua ben Nun came and built a wall. Okay? There was a wall, or Yehoshua ben Nun came. Okay, they made a wall, and then they built 2,000 houses. Are they going to read on the 15th or on the 14th? 1,000 before the wall, 2,000 after the wall. And the wall's from the time Yehoshua ben Nun. When do you read? You go after the Rov. When's the Rov? After the wall, so that you read on Tesvav. That's the Bir Halacha. So Moriv Rabbi, the Talmud Shlita Rebbe, had an unbelievable chakir. Listen to this. You have a city that you know is walled from the time Yehoshua ben Nun. And they have 10,000 houses in that city. Over the years, little by little, the Jews have been building up 8,000 houses, 9,000 houses, 9,999 houses. Comes Purim, it's Yud-Dalet, and it's 10,000 houses that were from it from before the wall against 9,999 after the wall. When are you reading Yud-Dalet or Tesvav? 10,000 before the wall and 999 after the wall. You go after the Rov. So when are you reading? Yodalit. Beautiful. So it's Purim night, and they're ready. And the kids have all their Hamans yellowed in. All the different things they're doing. And all the different things they're doing. So they read the Megillah. Everyone's happy. They're running around. Having a risha, rush, rush, rush. And all of a sudden, Muhammad and Yosef come. And they start banging. You say, what are you doing? Say, yeah, Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim. After Yom Kippur, we're building. What are you building? A house. So now they build a house on Purim night. It's 10,000 against 10,000. What do you do if it's 50-50? Says the Bir Halacha,
tzarchim.
We don't know. Now we're in trouble. But don't worry about it. Mochav and Yosef are bored. They buy mourning. They build another house. Now it's 10,001 that are walled, because it's walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. And 10,001 were built after the wall, and only 10,000 are before the wall. What happens then? Now it's a Tesvav place, right?
Read again?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. Do you read again? Do you have to read again at Tesvav? Is Yudalit canceled now? Or no, do you say once it was ready Yudalit, it's ready Yudalit? Or how about this? Let's say Yudalit they read. They read Yotzi Lerchov and Yudalit was cool. And then in Tesvav they built the house. So maybe on Tesvav they become a Tesvav town. That's just an interesting something to ask your Rabbeim tomorrow morning, Seder. Chakir, you never heard before. That's what I bet. But now you hear it. You can say you heard it here first at Landers College for engaged men. Either presently engaged, engaged in the past, will be engaged in the future, or most likely once had a broken engagement. In any event, that was the Kanisim. This is very common. That's why it was a joke. But we shouldn't know. It's better not to break it. And I always feel bad for the Brits because it's so hard to get engaged. And then for them, they waste their engagement on the phone. It was like, the phone is engaged. That's what they say when the phone is busy. They say the phone is engaged. You're going to an engagement party for a phone? What I wanted, a little bit of chizuk in Avodas Hashem, because this place is so holy and you guys are so holy. So I picked out a little bit of a mimer over here. It's only about, how many pages here? This is part of it. It's only about 40 pages, but we have to be done. Good, I hope they know Hatzela calls. Not because because of you leaving, just because I don't want anyone to need Hatzela. But I'm glad you came. So this is a mimer from Rav Chalap, who was one of the holy rabbis of Yerushalayim in the previous century. They came out with a biography of him about a year ago, so I highly recommend it. And also his farm, to learn his farm. That's the ikar of him, not just the beautiful stories. So we all know we're going to start with the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah. And from this Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah, we're going to go to very high places. It says in the Mishnah, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was holding up his hand. And whenever he would hold up his hand, they would beat the Amalekites. And whenever he would put his hands down, not so great. So, ask the Mishnah. Moshe's hands can wage war? No. And when Moshe's hands are down, that's what makes them lose the war? No. Rather, if the Jewish people are looking heavenwards, they're mistaken kapei mala, and they're mishabed libam lamakom, so they would win. And if not, they would lose. So first of all, I always like to thank everybody. So first, I thank everybody for coming. And second of all, I thank especially Rabbi Yosef and Jeremy, Yehuda, right?
Israel?
Just Israel? Israel Daniel. It's been a while since we learned. Nice to call you by your name. But your brother's Yehuda?
Yeshua,
but he's Yeshua Yehuda. So, okay. Usually, your father, that's what it is. I know I had a Yehuda in there. So, usually people tell me I'm very good with names, so I don't want to lose my reputation. But as you get closer to the age that people get Alzheimer's, you begin to worry. They say to use your mind, and this way, keep your mind sharp. This way, none of these things happen. But, for Soloveitchik, nobody used their mind better than him, right? So it happened to him, so it shows you that it's not always the exercises that you do. It's also to Shemayim what happens. So anyway, in any case, it says here that if they would look heavenwards and they would be Meshabed their lave, they'd win. So we want to understand today is this inyan of looking heavenwards and also Shibud HaLev. And then for that we're going to get on to Simcha and Atvus and all these things. Now we know that the Jewish people are either the best or the worst. Right? You know, there's a famous Mara, the famous Gemara that says that Ashrechem Yisrael, when you're high, you're the best, because this very rich girl, it was the time of the Churban, and she was looking through the feces for a little tiny piece of hay to eat. It's Ashrechem Yisrael. When you're high, you're the highest, and when you're low, you're the lowest. So what's the Ashrechem Yisrael? Because the Jewish people are very special people. When we're good, we're like filled with potential. When we're good, we're the absolute best. And when we go down really, really bad. Like if I would tell you that somebody made a Ponzi scheme, and he gypped people out of billions of dollars, you in a second know that it's a Jew. Like a guy wouldn't even think of that in a million years. But you in a second know that only a Jew could think. So, because when we're the best, we're the best. And when we're the worst, we're the worst. That's the Jewish people. Echom Recha Marna, when we were little kids, at least me, when I was a little kid, back even, same we're talking already in the previous century, that the bigger you are, the harder you fall. And that's Am Yisrael. The bigger we are, the harder we fall. And our job as Jews is to go higher and higher. And the angel's job is not to fall and to have amida. It says in Zechariah, it's a famous book that everyone quotes, V'nasati l'cha mahalchem b'ena omdim ha'ele. And I'm going to give you walking in between these standards. Who stands? Malachim. You ever see a malach grow in Yerushalayim? You ever see a malach? You have, I have a doctor, give you medication, everything will be fine. Unless you're very holy. It could be you're holy, you saw malach. And malachim exist, and not everybody's able to see them. As a matter of fact, I walk into the Landers tonight, I saw a few malachim. Here's one. I'm saying, who is it? No, you're, I'm not a malach, Ariel. But the job of a Jew is to be better than a malach. Why? Because a malach stands still, and a Jew is constantly moving forward. And we have to connect to these malachim. And then if we connect to the malachim, then we're mezakeh the malachim, that even the angels go higher. And the Jews have skulas hamida, that we can stand strong. And this happened, when did we connect to the malachim? At Har Sinai. It says, the Jewish people said, Nasa v'nishma. So what did the Baskol say? Who remembers the Gemara? Mi gila ra zeh lebanai. Who told my children this secret? Shemalachi ashar is mishdam shembo. The angels use this secret. Because first it says, Baruch Hashem alachav, blessed is to Hashem the angels. The angels bless Hashem. Giborei koach, those of strong power. Osei dvaro, they do what Hashem says. L'shmo avakol dvaro. And then they hear what Hashem says. So first you have Asiya and then Shmiya. Who also did Asiya and Shmiya? You're nodding. You could say it. You're saying the Jews. Thank you very much, Mr. The Jews. Nasa v'nishma. So we are like the angels. So the angels, that's the hizdavgus that we have to have with the angels. The angels are nasa v'nishma beings, and we're also nasa v'nishma beings. The angels have skulas ha'amida, they stand, b'na omdim ha'elu, Zechariah calls them, and we're mahalchim. So by connecting to them, we get their skula of standing strong, of not falling, and by connecting to them, they get our skula of moving forward. And what is Amalek trying to do? Obviously, they taught us all in Gan, in kindergarten, Israel, they call it Gan. But you're going to move to Israel and Mitzvah after you get your degree, and you're going to go, because everyone knows once you have a degree, then obviously you have parnasa. Isn't that what all our parents tell us that you're going to have? I know plenty of people with degrees without parnasa, but it's not. So I also know people without degrees without parnasa, and I know people without degrees with parnasa, and I know people with degrees with parnasa. So it really all depends on who your father or father-in-law is. Okay, so Amalek comes, and I wanted to go into my father-in-law's business. And he would have let me. He just said, like, first you're going to have to do 7 years of medical school. I'm like, no. So Amalek comes and is Mafrid. They try to separate between us and the angels. That we shouldn't get this. That even if we don't have the even if they don't take away the skula of Aliyah, at least they're going to take away the school of Amida. In other words, by preventing us from attaching ourselves to the angels, what Amalek was trying to do is make us fall. That's the job of Amalek. Amalek, there's the Jews, and they're the angels, and we have to connect. The angels are omdim. They have a firm basis. They stand. And Amalek comes between us. I'm sorry, if anybody wants light stuff with humor, so this is like deep stuff, I guess, with a little humor. And that is what always people try to do. What does the Sar of Esav do? Vayar kilo yachalo. And what did he do? Where did he hit him?
In the thigh.
What happens if your thigh is hit?
You can't stand.
He saw that he couldn't take away the school of Aliyah, and therefore he tried to get his kaf yerech to take away the school of Amida, that the Jews couldn't stand. And then that's why when we were at Har Sinai, what happened? We saw Hashem panim el panim. And we saw the kolos and lapidim and anan kaved alahar. I always like to quote the footner. It says, Heviani al beis hayayin. So it says in the Medrash, what's the beis hayayin? Sinai. The beis hayayin, that's what it says in Shir Shirim, Heviani al beis hayayin is Sinai. So what happens, what does it mean, hadar kiblu abim achashverosh? When we accepted the Torah again in the time of achashverosh, we went back to the beis hayayin. That's why we drink on Purim. For those who do, we go back to the base. The Medrash says, "Have yain or base yain is Sinai." So it's good to have yain. The yain comes in, the secret comes out. Our footner says, "What's the secret?" It says, "Nichas yain yatzis sod." They're both gematria 70. So what secret comes out when we drink wine? It's pashut. Va'amech kulam tzadikim. That's the secret that comes out. A Jew puts a little bit inside of him, less inhibited, and all the tzidkus comes out. Do you ever go to a Giants game? And you see what happens when our Gentile brothers drink, right? They start punching each other and screaming and cursing. And the Purim, you see a Jew drinks, and he starts saying, the next thing you know, he's in the middle of Masechet Shabbos. You're like, good, good. So we were Makabel the Torah. In the time, but that was not the Ikar Kabbalah Satorah. What was the Ikar Kabbalah Satorah? Not at Har Sinai, because Har Sinai was forced. What was the Ikar Kabbalah Satorah? Purim. Purim is when we did it Meiratzon, free will. At Sinai, we were forced. You want to ask something? You want to say? You want to make a joke? You want to tell me something? No, want to hug me? Mitzvah Hashem at the end of Shir. We're going to get to that. It's my favorite part. You want to be over to Hashem B'Simcha?
Yeah.
So how come on Purim, it was the Ikar, when we didn't see Hashem Panim El Panim, and Har Sinai, when we saw God, and we saw the fire and the thunder, that wasn't the Ikar Kabbalah Satorah. That was coerced. Religious coercion. So the answer is that at Har Sinai, we were Makabel Torah for when things are good. Har Sinai, we had Kolos and Brachim, we had this clarity. So what's the Kabbalah Satorah of Purim? Even when it's a Zman of Nefila, we're in Golos, and Golos is very dark. It says, and it's the end of the night, and it's dark, and you look outside over here, and it's cold. You know what I was thinking the other day? I was thinking of, how do I know that it's coming close to the end of days? Because it says it's going to be a door that's Kulo Chayiv or Kulo Zakai. And as soon as I come here in the summer, and I see it's Kulo Chayiv, you see these women walking around like prutzes. You just can't walk down the streets. It's terrible, it's tumah. And I come here now, and I see every woman is dressed from head to toe covered. And I said, this is unbelievable. It's Moshe Mashiach. Everybody's makbid on sneus. That's what's going to bring Mashiach. That's the whole union of Esther. Esther is Hester, and hidden and hiding, and what's pure and holy is hidden. And they finally realize that's what Kedusha is. So they're becoming an union of Hester. We just get rid of some of the billboards and advertisements. Unfortunately, they don't suffer from the cold. So you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to thank his Malach. Sub-freezing temperatures. You have to daven, every Jew has to daven every morning for sub-freezing temperatures. Then a Jew can walk down the street. And that's what it's all about. Baruch Hashem. Shreni, everyone said covered hair also. I'm saying, Goyisha women, they know to cover their hair, but they know. Hashem. In any event, enough of the weather forecast. In the time of Achashverosh, when they wanted to make us fall, so we switched it around. What do we say? Right? Just the opposite. They want us to have Yerida. They want us to fall. We're in this dark, bitter gullus. This is not our nature. What's the natural place of the Jewish people? The Kuzari says. Take a wild guess. Eretz Yisrael. It's true, Kew Garden Hill is the second place. You can see it, just walking around here. But Eretz Yisrael. So we're not in our natural habitat over there in Persia. And it's cold. Not in Persia, it's cold, but it's in Ruchnius it's cold. And it's very Gentile, and it's filled with Avodah Zarah. So we're not in our natural state there. And we're liable to fall. And there we were Makabel Torah. That's the Ikar Kabbalah Satorah. The Ikar Kabbalah Satorah is when you're going to fall in your Makabel Torah. At Har Sinai, we weren't falling. It was glory. It was splendor. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was Moshe on the mountain. But there was no Moshe, and there were no Kolos Ubrakim. So there, an Amalek is trying to get us to fall. And what does Zera say to Haman? She says to him, if they say that, you know how to say mother-in-law in Hebrew? Chamot. Had to say mother-in-law. So they say Achashverosh had two mothers-in-law, Bara and Shachacha, because it says V'chamaso Bara Bo. So that's one Chamot is Bara, and the other one is V'chamas Hamelech Shachacha. So his other mother-in-law was Shachacha, but that's not really, because it just means his anger, right? Vayimalei Haman, why aren't Haman Tashin filled with meat? Because then it would be Basar V'chalav, because it's Vayimalei Haman Chema, and chema is butter. But that's only if you read it chema, it's really chema, which is anger. So I'm just giving you Megillah jokes. Now, Amalek is trying to take life from us. So here we get to the point. Says the Rav, now I'm going to read it inside. There are two reasons why you can take away life. Hasiba achat, ha'atzvus. One thing that takes away life is when you're sad. You ever see somebody who's depressed? He's lifeless. You just see him sitting there and he's, what's the word for it in English? Where he's
hopeless.
What?
Hopeless.
Hopeless. Listless. All the lists. He's just, he lacks life, he lacks chiyus, he lacks vibrancy. That's what atzvus does to a person. So that's one way to take away life. And the other way of taking a life is holulus. What's holulus? Like this levity, this emptiness. If you want to see what I'm talking about, go to a discotheque or a bar and you just see people acting stupid. So that's another way of taking away life. Atzvus and holulus. Kishadam nofel ba'atzvus, hine was kiminuta menachayim. You're like taken away from life. You have no desire. You don't want, if you know anybody who's depressed, he doesn't want to get out of bed. He doesn't want to do anything. He doesn't want to be active. You ever met anybody who's depressed? No, getting blank looks. I can introduce you to a few. You just don't want to do anything. You ever felt that way? Just woke up one day. You just don't want to get out of bed. Ugh. So, people sometimes ask me how I'm doing. I don't even understand the question. Like, don't they see that I'm not breathing with the help of any machines? If somebody's not breathing with the help of a machine, if you can just go like this, that's like the most unbelievable simcha in the world. If you want to know, it's parnasa and your health and this, I'm saying, you're breathing. What does it say? It says in the pasuk, Ma yisonein adam chai. It says in Kedushin, the Gemara Darshan, Ma yisonein adam, how can a person complain? Chai! He's alive! Anybody who's complaining is if you're dead. And then you can't complain anymore because you're dead. So if you're alive, there's no complaining. That's the way I feel. Maybe I'm wrong. When I got up this morning, get up, you go outside, ooh, it's pretty, you go to daven, you put in your tefillin, you're alive. Alive. And even if you're connected to a machine, but to be alive without a machine. Metavim is achayim. When somebody's depressed, life is abominable. Ubochurim mabes tov mimenu. They'd rather have death. They're suicidal, they'd rather die. God, take my soul. Who said that? Yonah and the whale. Let me die already. I can't take this anymore. I hate my life. That's atzvus. It's the worst. Kamokein holulus. Notelus kol ziv chaya ruach. All the spirit of life. When a person's empty and they're acting silly and they're saying silly things and they're doing silly things and there's this feeling of emptiness and levity and capriciousness. I know what that means. But all of these different feelings, so that takes away the spirit of life. So you have to be connected to Ruchnius. When someone's connected to Ruchnius, so then you just realize that there's something wrong here. If you're not connected, you don't realize it. You know, if you go to a game, let's say you go to a game, and let's say in this game you have 10 oversized men wearing their underwear. And they're all jumping up and down, and everyone can see their armpits, and they're jumping, and they're throwing, and they're running, and they're jumping, and they're throwing, and they're running, and they're jumping, and they're throwing. And then finally, one of the guys puts the ball in the net, and you just see 80,000 people going berserk. And you spent the last few months, mamish, every day, even learning 13, 14 hours a day, and you learn Musar, you have a little Seder on the side of Kabbalah, and you learn the Ma'amarim of Lakutei Torah of the Alter Rebbe, and you learn Torahs of Rebbe Nachman, and you're a Ben Olam Haba. What's a Ben Olam Haba? It's somebody whose body is in this world, but your neshama is over there. And you just go there and you say, this is the silliest thing in the world. And what just happened? If you're not connected to that, you're jumping around like everybody else. But that's the idea of holulus. Oh, this is when people go berserk over silliness. The other night they had the Oscars. It was very, very sad for me because I didn't win again. I'm saying year after year I have this streak going. I'm going up to watch the... You see, it's holulus. You see the way, I didn't watch it, to be honest with you, but I have to admit. You have to admit your sins publicly. Yeah, but, you know, you see just the way everyone's... It's all about chitzonius. It's all about... A lot of it's about preetzus and the... Put it this way, I wear a gartel, it's about what's beneath the gartel, and now it's above the gartel. Above the gartel you have the heart and the brain. And there it's not about the heart, it's about yitzarim, and it's about the body. And a person's connected to the neshama, so you just see it's all holulus. And everybody goes crazy after this movie star and that movie star. Missing something. So that's holulus. Well, these things. Yisod shel atzvus, who would stamtzimus ba'atzmo. What happens when you're sad? You contract within yourself. You don't want to talk to anyone. You don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to be sociable. That's why. the biggest enemy. I can't do it. I've tried. It's impossible for me. The biggest enemy of atzvos is to find a bunch of Jews and start dancing with them. Because no matter what mood I'm in, the second I start dancing with Jews, I automatically turn into a good mood. Automatically. I don't have to do anything. You know what I mean? I just tell my psychiatrist, keep your $300 an hour and find me 5 Jews to dance with. That's all. He said, if you give me $300 an hour, I'll find you 3 Jews to dance, 5 Jews to dance with. In any event, but once you have, what happens? Because atzvos is you're contracting within yourself and you're not connecting to other people. And what's a rikud? A rikud is you're going out of yourself and you are connecting to other people. They say in Chassidus, there's a few things they say about rikudim. But one of the things they say is that you're trying to elevate above the ground. If you jump, that's your way of saying, I don't want to be connected to the afrius. I don't want to be connected to the artzius of this world. The Erev HaSaaretz, it says about the Am Yisrael, it says that they're in Mitzrayim. And what happened when they were in Mitzrayim? What does it mean? The earth filled them. It should say they filled the earth. What does it mean? The earth filled them. So I heard on Friday night after davening, somebody told me the Brisker Rav said, Mr. Westreich, say b'shem Omro, the name of the Brisker Rav, that the artzius of Mitzrayim filled them. Mitzrayim is called the Erev HaSaaretz, the nakedness of the land. So fill them. Sometimes you want to elevate yourself above the artzius of this world. You want to feel a little bit higher, a little bit more elevated, a little more lofty. So that's the idea of a rikud. That's also what you do in Merakid on Shabbos. One of the malachos is Merakid. What's Merakid? You take a sieve, and then you have the flour, and then the coarse flour stays on the top. You throw it up like this, and then the finer flour goes down. So you separate between the coarse and what's finer. And that's also what a rikud is. That you're trying to separate between the coarser part of yourself and the finer part of yourself. I once told you that board at a wedding, if you remember that, Yisrael. And if you don't remember, I'm reminding you. So that's atzvos. Try to get a depressed person to start doing chesed. Depressed people don't do chesed. Do you know that being happy is not only a right that a person has, that everybody has the right to happiness, one of the credos of the United States of America. But more than that, it's a moral obligation to be happy. Why is it a moral obligation to be happy? Because happier people are just nicer. They do more for other people. And angry, miserable people are usually focused on themselves. You ever meet a happy terrorist? So you know, Ahmed, he blows up a restaurant and he kills Rahman, that's not how many people. And you go to him, meet him in jail. You say, how are you, Ahmed? Ah, Aruch Hashem, things are great. I just, what can I do for you today? No, they're miserable, angry people. So a person's miserable and angry, they're not thinking about anybody else but themselves. So that is atzvos. Sonim cheves b'nei adam, sonim kol b'nei yedidus, v'akol b'shul. That's it, that's one extreme. Atzvos, you only know from yourself. So you're not. I'm not telling you to go to a sad person and start giving him mussar. You shouldn't be sad. It's wrong that you're only thinking about yourself. But I read a story written by a woman. She said she wrote a letter to Lubavitcher Rebbe, and she told the Rebbe. She said she was depressed. The Rebbe didn't start giving her psychoanalysis. He said to her, do 3 nice things for other people every day. 3 nice things for people every day. And she said, that was it. She got out of it. Because the Rebbe understood that what's atzvos? We can go now. This kever is minutes away. What's atzvos? We can ask him what he thinks. And the only reason Wernick is here is it. And also his parents. I'll give them credit also. Yeah, you got the picture of Baruch Hashem. I'm saying 6 people in one Sunday morning, dollars in a second. It was just unbelievable. We have to publicize this. Where's he? Where's your friend? What's his name? AB, where is he? He didn't come? AB and I are like best friends in the world. I have to. Okay, it's a shame. I'm not going to speak to him again, but at least he'll learn his lesson. I'm joking. I love AB, and I'm sure everyone has classes and midterms and postterms and preterms. College is a rough life. You work so hard, and you pay them to do it. So Mr. Shemra both say, one day I promise you all, there's going to be a time in your life where you're going to work, and somebody's going to pay you. And that's the way the world goes. First you pay them to work, then you do it for free, and then they pay you to work, right? Because if you do an internship, you do it for free. So that's first you pay them for 22 years, you pay them to work, and then you do it for free, the intern, and then they start paying you little by little, and then Mr. Shem, one day you'll own half of this city. So one way is that you are, so you want to ever be ever down? Yeah, by the way, it's magic. When you're down, pick up the phone, call your bubby, call your aunt, call your mother, call your father, call your friend. Think of the biggest loser in the whole your whole grade. Call him up, see how he's doing. Just say, you know, I was thinking about you. I love you. You're such a great guy. You know what I mean? When the green stuff comes out of your nose sometimes, like just when you're sitting sometimes, it's really, I love that. I'm just joking. That's just like a funny thing to tell a geeky guy. But you tell him, you know, a guy who doesn't have any friends, excuse me, that was levity. That was hopeless. We're going to get to that in a second. A guy who doesn't have any friends, and you pick up the phone and you call him, not because you want anything from him. Usually when somebody calls, it's because that's why it's hard to get in touch with people sometimes, because people know in their subconscious when you're calling them, it's because you need them. They don't need you. Because if they would need you, they would call you. When was the last time somebody called you because you needed them? Very rare, right? Recently somebody wanted to do a chesed for me, so I called him up. I needed him for the chesed, and then he came to my house. He drove to my house from the five towns to the city, and then I needed his chesed again, so he drove somewhere else for me, and then again another time he came back to me. I was like, where do you have people? I started trying to touch it and see if he's a real person or an angel. Where do you have people that go to you to do it? Usually you go to them to do it. When you need a chesed, so you have to go to them. Then he came to me. It was a very, very special thing.
Well,
so, if, yeah.
That's a question.
Three.
Pronounce one.
Yeah.
Isn't that selfish to call people because you want to make yourself feel better?
So your kavana is enachinami. Now you're down and you say, what can I do to feel better? So then you say, think about somebody else. And then when you think you're genuinely thinking about them, you've forgotten about yourself. You've long forgotten about yourself. So it's true, your original motivation is selfish, but I have a secret for you. Just about everything we do, our original motivation is selfish. Why do we get married? Because we want to do chesed for a girl. We didn't even know her. How can you want to do good for her? The answer is, you want to get married for many, many different reasons. Yes, some of them will say, because of mitzvah, and because it's the Ratzon Hashem, and there are other reasons as well, and there are also selfish reasons. You're lonely, and you want to have a friend, your thing, and your friends are getting, and they're this, and there are other reasons, and then there are also reasons, but once you get married, are you saying, wait a second, I got married because, and then you think of your selfish reasons. I got married because I really like girls, and the Torah says that you're allowed to be married to one, so I figured I would already do it the way the Torah says. So she better make me happy. And then you sit around all day thinking she's going to make you happy. No. You got married originally because enachinami, you like girls. And you wanted one because you're a guy. That's the main, excuse me for saying that, that's the main reason we get married. Because if it was just a mitzvah, I just don't see people doing reishis hakeis. I'm saying find a sheep, take the first shearings and find the coin and give it to him. Why don't I ever get calls late at night that guys are depressed because their reishis hakeis isn't going for them? You know, they try to get the sheep and they couldn't, and then the coin wouldn't accept it. The answer is we get married because we're guys. And because we have what guys have, and we want to have a woman, it's very pashut. It's pashut, that's why guys get married. And girls will get married because they need a guy. So now that you're married, are you going to walk around selfish all day thinking, I got married originally, my original motivation is I'm a guy, I need a girl to make me happy, so now all day she make me happy? No. The second you got married, you say, now I'm going to completely forget about my motivations of getting married, and my job now is to do for her. I'm putting aside all self-motivations. So your original motivation for calling the guy Nechinami could very well be selfish. But once you're calling him, you've forgotten all about yourself. And then you find the secret of life. The second you forgot about yourself, you cease to be unhappy. Because we're only unhappy because of ourselves. Isn't that amazing? And then you hear about his tzaras, and somehow it's much easier to deal with somebody else's tzaras than your own. I've noticed that. So, you hear what I'm saying? The original motivation is selfish. And then after you get past that original, it's also when you sit and learn Torah. Why are we sitting and learn Torah? We have 100 selfish reasons to sit and learn Torah. But then once we're sitting down to learn Torah, we say, I'm forgetting about that. What's Das Hashem? What got you into the base matters might be one thing. But once you're already there, what's Das Hashem? Very good. Now, so that is sadness, you're in yourself. V'akotza Hasheni hu aholus. And the other extreme is hololus, is levity, empty-headedness. Ha'olus yashka yosir midai v'cheves b'nei adam. See the other extreme? Sadness is you're contracting within yourself. Hololus is it's too much about the guys. You see this sometimes, you know, especially teenagers and young people in their 20s, they can't be with themselves, they can't enjoy being with themselves, they can't get to that deeper place. So they're always looking for people to go places with, to talk to. That's why people are constantly, everywhere I go, everybody is typing something. Why are they always typing something? The answer is because if they're not, they have to be with themselves. And they don't get enough from being with themselves. I know, this past Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, I have a few friends in this country. People always invite me for Shabbos. And it's always very unpleasant for me. I don't like to say no. If somebody invites me, it's not because I don't have food at home. I have a mother who just keeps filling up the fridge and begging me to eat. She figures in a few weeks she'll have me, she'll fatten me up. But it's not going to work. In 42 years it hasn't worked. She tried it, my wife tried it. Many people have come over to the house, it's not going to work. But I have enough food at home, people are inviting me. And I said, no. I said, what would be better than spending 25 hours with the best company I can imagine? What's the best company? Neshama shena sata b'tahori. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a neshama. So why can't I just enjoy being with myself? So I did. So I spent Shabbos myself. And it was an unbelievable Shabbos. Now next Shabbos I'll be inviting Baruch Hashem. And eventually I go back to Israel. And I have a wife and I have children. So it's not so nice that I have a wife and children. I want to spend Shabbos in. You want to compliment your wife. And you say to her, you know what the ideal Shabbos is? Being without you. It's not not the Shalom Bayis line of the day. But you love your wife. You want to be with your wife. Be with yourself. Get to connect with yourself. Who am I really? I'm putting on a show. I always like to say, I came here dressed. This is my Purim costume. It's too bad I don't have my hat with me. What am I dressed up as? A rabbi. And it works. Oh, rabbi this, rabbi that, rub this, rub that. It's all costume. You want to get rid of the costume, divest yourself, and get to the neshama shena sata b'tahori, get to your real self. Who am I? Where am I going? What am I doing? What do breast lovers call it? His bodidus. His bodidus doesn't have to be in a forest. His bodidus can be your room crowded with people, and you're doing a spodidus. You're not there to put on a show, and you're not trying to. In Hebrew, they call it litzfok pozot, to pose as somebody that you're not. So that's an emistika person. But most of us are trying. I always imagine, I go sometimes, you go to a smorgasbord, or in shul at the kiddush, or during chazaras hashatz, and everybody's talking. I'm thinking, what is everybody? Sometimes I sit back and I say, okay, I'm a Martian now. I'm coming down. This coming down from Mars. I've never seen this before. What is everybody talking about? What does this need? What does everybody have to say? What is so important that everybody is everybody speaking different Torah? What are they? They're exchanging Maharals, Kashas of Rabbi Kiva Akers. What is everybody talking about? They go from this person, they talk to him, and they go to that person, they talk. And the ladies, what do they say about ladies? Says in the Gemara, 10 measures of speech came down to the world. 9 were taken by women, and the 10th is on call waiting. Saying talking, and what's all the talking? And then if they're not talking, they're on the bus and they're texting. Why? That's holiness. Why is that holiness? Because you constantly have to be with other people. You can't just be with yourself. And when you're with yourself, who else do you get to be with at that same time? Who else is also with you at that time? Hashem! Just me and the Rabbanu Shalom. Is that something? What's Shmini Atzeres? Shmini Atzeres is, as Chazal say, it's just you and Hashem, just me and Hashem. It's a very intimate gathering. So there's something very special about that. About just you and Hashem. And you don't need other people. Very, very beautiful. And one day, Mitzvah Hashem, when you get married, if you're already married, so it's the most beautiful thing. Just you and your wife. You don't have to have company for the meal. You don't have to go to other people's houses. You don't have to go a night on the town. You can just enjoy each other. Very, very beautiful. You don't need loads of people. It's you and her. Now you're one. So she counts as you, and you count as her. And doctor, my leg hurts. Her leg hurts us. Terrific. We all know the story. So that is the opposite of holiness. Holiness is, you know, it's Saturday night. Oh, who wants to go out with me there? Everyone's looking for somewhere to go with somebody else. And you need people too much. So man, by nature, is a social animal. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be social. If you ever go to a smorgasbord, you won't see me walking around eating. That I don't do. But I sit down. Chazal say it's good to sit down. You'd like a match. So they never saw those things. You do talk. You should be sociable, but you shouldn't be so sociable that you just can't be alone. That's the. And what's atzvus? Atzvus is you're in the corner and you're not talking to anybody. You know, you're facing the corner like this. You know, and everyone jumps and you're like this, and then everyone realizes something is a little bit off over here. You don't want to be this. You don't want to be that. And then when you're talking to a person, sometimes somebody's talking to you, they're talking to you, let's say I'm talking to Yehuda, to Yehuda's father, is your father, but you're really part of it. So I'm talking to Yisrael, and I'm like, so how are you doing? Good, you're learning well? Very good, I heard your sister's engaged, mazel tov. And everyone's, we're almost brothers-in-law now, because he's like my brother, Mikey's like my brother, and you're like her brother, so we're like, you're a little more biological, but... Somebody once said that Hashem was very kind. That the relatives we are sort of forced on us, but friends we get to choose. So at least something in life we get to choose. So you talk. So you can't be with the person. That's holiness. Because you're not with this. You have to be with the whole world. Ever heard of Facebook? Ah, oh, that's not holiness. That's it. Oh, so a holiness who ashka yosim yidai b'cheves b'nei adam. How many friends is there? Oh, he friended me. He'll never meet me ever, but he friended me. Shogun az b'chom avyan ishama. You forget about your soul. It's all about who's there, who I saw, who I spoke to, who saw me. Kov shim es kol rik shoseha. You capture, you bring down, sorry, all of the feelings of the soul. You kill all of its desires. That's also taking life. Amalek wanted to kill us. So they try to get us on both ends. Amalek tried to get us. Now we're back to Torah. Before with social commentary, now we're back to Torah. Amalek tried to get us on Atzvus, and they try to get us into Holulus. Let's see how that plays out beautifully. Rav Charlap was a Malach Hashem Tzvakos and a unbelievably deep thinker. Vayavo Amalek, Vayelochim Yisrael Berfidim. Amalek came and they attacked the Jews at Rephidim. What's Rephidim? Rephidim, Chazal say, is Rafu Yideya Min HaTorah. They were weakened, they weakened their hands from the Torah. So what happens when you weaken your hands from the Torah? David HaMelech already said in the first parak of Tehillim, where's my daughter when I need her? Kanai Nahara. 150 prakim she knows by heart. Every time I get stuck on a pasuk, Gila, how do you continue that? And then I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the nachas. So the first parak I know a little bit. She's almost in the looking for a shidduch, but she wants somebody who grew up in Israel. So if you know anybody who grew up in Israel who isn't expecting a girl with a PhD, right? Papa has dough. So that's that my daughter is not going to have ever. I hope one day, never know, maybe. But a good girl, Mitzvashem, Sasuna Mitzvashem. Everyone's invited to her wedding. The whole world, like Shlomo Karbach, the whole world's invited to my daughter's wedding. So I'm inviting the whole world. All we need is a chassan and a date. Okay. Usually the date comes before the chassan, but good. Vayavo Amalek. So anyway, how does the first parak? I'm talking about Gila, so we're kind of. How does the first parak of Tilim go? Ashu Yisholach Batzis Vashayim. Maderach HaTorah Moshem Ezab. Ki Mesoras Hashem Chefzo. You're going with Torah. That's your only desire. And how does it go, Viter? How does the parakeet go? So the first parakeet gives you two Gzeirat Tehillim here. I should really know it. I used to know it. Doesn't help you. Doesn't help me. So, no, it doesn't matter. I know the pasuk I was trying to quote. Ashrei shesher lach b'tzarim v'dev kiim b'toras Hashem chevzo. Ashrei shesher lach b'tzarim. So it talks about the two extremes. There's the extreme of the Rishayim, and then there's the toras Hashem chevzo. So it's going to go one way or the other. Or like we see in Shema, v'hayim shema tishmu. You're going to listen to the Torah, great. And what happens if you don't listen? You're going to go serve idols. So just that I have it. Beautiful. Thank you very much. Tehillim. Now I feel like a girl on the bus. Okay. So, that's what I wanted to get to. I was saying the bus. You hear this? You're not sitting with a Moshev Leitzim. Rather, you're learning Torah. Meaning, man doesn't live in a vacuum. Or does he live in a vacuum cleaner? It's going to be one or the other. If you're going to get Torah, it's beautiful. And then if not, then it's Moshev Leitzim. You see, that's the way the world is. If somebody doesn't have Torah, then what do? They find time for nonsense. I'm amazed at how much time people have for nonsense. And there's only one reason. Because they're not learning. But if you're learning, then you're not into that. And if you're that, then you're not learning. So that's what Amalek try to get us. Rafidim, Rafi Yedem in HaTorah. Rafi Yedem in HaTorah means they go to the late sonos and the schok and the holos and all the nonsense. I remember the turning point in my life was when the Giants were, I think, playing the Bills in the Super Bowl in 1991. And it happened to be I was here because it was a war that was about to break out in Israel. And since I don't really know how to handle a hold a gun, so I decided to, well, my parents told me to come back because I think they knew I didn't have to hold a gun in the Arabs. So I came back to America and happened to be learning here. I was in yeshiva, I was in Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn. And that was it. I was there. It was January of 1991 and it was a Super Bowl. And I was an American kid like everybody else. I never miss a Super Bowl. If you're in America, you go watch a Super Bowl. And I decided it's either going to be Super Bowl or it's going to be afternoon Seder. Who's going to win? And on that day, I just decided, what? Afternoon Seder? For a game? Can't be. So, the better story is Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that he made his bris with the Torah when the first car was driving on Rehov Yafo. first car, 1918, whatever it was, right? And everybody ran out from cheder to look at the car. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said, I'm with the Torah. He was a little boy in school, and he said, I'm going to stick with the Torah. And he said, that's where he made his covenant with the Torah. He just gives you a thing, like, why do I have to watch the... And don't worry about it. From that time on, he saw many cars, and the other friends saw many... He didn't miss anything by not seeing the first car. But I remember everyone went to watch the first man on the moon. They were so excited when the first man went to the moon. It's a famous story. There was Shlomo Zalman, I think it was his mother-in-law. Because he was asking about what happened. Like, he didn't watch it, but oh, that's so interesting. So she said, Shlomo Zalman, that everybody else believes this Narishkeit, okay, but that you're such an intelligent guy, you believe that a man really walked on the moon. In any event, so, Vayelachem Yisrael Berfidim, that's the Rafu Yadayim in HaTorah. And what did the Jews say? Hayesh Hashem Bikirbenu Im Ayin. So Refidim is Rafu Yadayim in HaTorah, which is Holulus, which is Schok, which is Leitzanus, that's Amalek, Amalek is a Leitz. And then, is God amongst us or not? What does God amongst us or not mean? Is God with us? Is God not with us? What do we call that in Hebrew? What? Sveikos. You ever want to get a person depressed? Give him sveikos. Is there a God? Isn't there a God? Is the Torah true? Is the Torah not true? Is this the girl for me? Is this not the girl for me? Should I go to law school? Or should I become an accountant? Should I live here? Or should I live there? Sveikos. Suffolk is the gematria, of course. Amalek. Amalek wants to put Sveikus in it. What happens when you defeat Amalek? Ein Simcha, Kataras Sveikus. When you have clarity, that's the biggest Simcha. But when you're not sure, ooh, that can kill. Anyone ever experience that? That you're just not sure. It's a big deal, and you just don't know. Or even when you're learning sometimes, and you're just not sure what the pshat is, doesn't it bother you? Me, it bothers. Me, it bothers a lot. You just don't know. You have a suffix. So you always say that's the language we use when we learn. So he was bothered with the suffix. It bothers you. That's what sveikas are. I have that now because I take the train a lot. Which train should I take? And you never know what bad neighborhood. I know I'm going to end up in a bad neighborhood because I'm always taking the wrong train. I just want to know how bad the neighborhood is going to be and how few people are going to be in the train station when I get off. That's just what I want to know. And do they know, are they going to assume automatically that I'm a rich man filled with $100 bills in my pocket because I dress nicely and I'm Jewish, so I must own real estate. So they are right on every point but the owning real estate and the $100 of bills in my pocket. What did Yaakov Avinu say? Achein Yesh Hashem B'makom Hazeh. That's the opposite of Suffolk. So he had complete clarity. That, by the way, you want to know the greatest Simcha in the world? It's complete clarity. It's from Hashem. For me, anyway, I tell you, in a personal experience, the greatest simcha I ever have about anything is you just know this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Ozi Malis Chokpinu was. At the end of days, we're just going to laugh. It's like, I can't believe it. It was all from HaKadosh. You just see however, that's what the Megillah is. That's why Purim is the day of Schok. Because you just see how all these horrible events, it was all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's like, this is unbelievable. So that's the greatest simcha. That's the simcha of Purim. Simcha of Purim is there's this darkness. You're just not sure and you question everything. And how do I really know? And how do I really know there's an afterlife? And how do I really know there's Charva Onesh? And how do I really know that God cares whether I'm putting on tefillin or not? So whether you put on tefillin or not, you're batzvus. You're batzvus. You didn't put on. You're also besuffic. You think atheists aren't besuffic? Is there one proof there's no God? I'm still looking. I like to read a lot. And now that they have the internet, so you just have apikorsis and, you know, oceanfuls. You just click away. And I still haven't found anyone bring one proof against God. So you think they don't have sveikas? Of course they have sveikas. If they're thinking, they have sveikas. But they don't want to think, so then they don't have to have sveikas. You can be sure of anything. You could be a Scientologist. And you could be sure that right now as we speak, there are 10 aliens dancing around the room singing, what do aliens sing? You can believe whatever you want. So, but a person's thinking, he knows there's no proof against. So what is it? So they're also living besuffic. So they're agnostic. What does it mean? Any act I do, I don't know if it has meaning or not. Because if there's no God, then life is completely meaningless. And then if there's a purpose for the world, then it's meaningful. And then if you're besuffic, suffic is horrible. It says in the Gemara, that there's going to be a kalala on the what's the Gemara about Metzia? Maybe on Kuf Zayin over there? I don't know. It's somewhere. Boop! Now, I always want to find that button in my head that you can press that just finds the source. I have it on my computer. I don't have it in my head yet. Sometimes it comes up, Baruch Hashem. It's all in the memory bank. It's an amazing, amazing thing that a human being has. So it says, you know what the klal is? That you're going to come home and you're going to find your wife is a suffik nida. So some of us, you're going to come home from a long trip and you haven't been with her for a while. And been with her, I mean, you know, to learn chavrus, you have chafetz chaim every day, 15 minutes. And you haven't done that in a long time. And then you come home and she says, I have a suffik, I have a mar, I brought it to the rav and he's not sure. That's the biggest klala. So some of Farshim say, v'kol shekein, if she's vaday asur to you. Another Farshim say, no. If she's vaday asur to you, fine, you know, she's vaday asur to you. But if maybe yes and maybe no, and it's been a long time, that's the worst klala. Suffik is a klala. You don't want to live with sfakas. So that's atzvus. Omnam gam zomo seil mitoch amalek hashorshi aruchni haya lanu kol eil shekadam nizgala pni kodam shekadam haya lanu kol eil shekadam nizgala pni yusein ulefnei shenizgala kam b'amalek hatachton. Vayavu amalek vayilochem yisrael berfidim. Now, as we had this in our pnimius, even before the real, physical, concrete amalek came, we already had these two midas within us. This hololus and this atzvus. Again, the atzvus is the suffik. Is God with us? Is God not with us? And then you don't want to do anything because you don't know. You ever see a guy try to steal second? And he's mesupuk. Should I steal? Shouldn't I steal? So he goes and he doesn't go. And they pick him off. And 45,000 people are cursing this guy. You know what I mean? So that's what happens when you're living in suffik. If you're going to go, put your head down and go. You get thrown out. You get thrown out some of that, or you have a little bit of dirt in your pants. But you try. They're paying you $25 million to get them. That's what I love about baseball, by the way. You completely fail. You fail. You struck out. And you're still getting your $25 million. It's a great thing. Good. So the value of failure. If you don't succeed, keep not succeeding because they keep paying you. What does it matter? Vihine. And also holos. That's what I'm like it. Holos. Holos is refidim, rafidim in a Torah. And atzvus going into yourself. Isn't there? And then they attack us and those nekudas. Vihine. Now we're getting back to the pasuk, and with this we wrap it up. When you're sad, you can't look at your friend. You don't want to look at anybody. Again, you're contracted within yourself. And who else don't you want to look at when you're sad? You don't want to look. Klape mala. You don't want to look at Hashem. Lios she'en ochosh klaba mashizulaso ein ochosh. Lios she'en ochosh klaba mashizulaso ein ochosh gam mashilamala. You don't feel the other guy. You also don't feel your friend, Hashem. You're within yourself. Now, let's say you feel Hashem loves you. What do you do when you love somebody? You look at them. You ever notice that when you really like somebody? Not even your wife or a girl, just a guy. But you really like him. So you just like to look at him because he makes you feel good. He's your friend. So you're happy to see your friend. There's a bracha. When you haven't seen your friend for a long time, you say a bracha. It gives you simcha to see your friend. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Chol HaMoed that it's usur to leave Eretz Yisrael. That's the Rambam. But for Dvar Mitzvah, you're allowed to go. What's a Dvar Mitzvah? To go see your friend. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So you have Simcha. So that's the stackless. What's Hololos? You have Hololos, says Rav Chalap, because you have Afogas Halev. You have Hololos because you have this weakness of heart. You have this weakness of heart that you're not connected to the Ruchnius. Your Lev is empty of the Ruchnius. That's Hololos. So now, the pasuk dances beautifully. This is a rikud for a pasuk. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says that the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hands, and the Mishnah says. Remember, we read the Mishnah. Is it Moshe's hands that are going to make the war, make or break the war? Rather, if they're looking to heaven, then and if they're mistaklin kape mala. You know you defeat Amalek? If you look heavenwards, and if you're mishabed your lave to Avim Sheba Shamayim. What does it mean to look heavenwards? It means that you beat the Atzvus. Because when you're Av Atzvus, you're not looking at anybody. And that's what Amalek is trying to destroy. They're trying to get us to be Atzvus. And what is mishabdim libam? He says, Hololos is Afagas Halev. You have this weak heart, this empty heart. It's filled. It's, you know, you don't have the pnimius of your lev, so you have to go to other people. So that's holos. But if you're able to be mishabed your lev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you beat the holos. So on those two points, that's how we beat Amalek. So that's how that's the Mishnah on Rosh Hashanah. Mistaklim kapei mala u'mishavim lezlibim l'avim shebashamayim. So that's our avoda. This Purim, in order to beat Amalek, in order once and for all to beat the Atzvus, and also to beat the Holiness, to become pneumistic of people. So maybe that's the idea of the, it says that you drink, so you get into your pneumius. It says gedol legima shemekarevis halavavas shemekarevis harachokim. You ever heard that Gemara? That says in Sanhedrin Kuf Gimel that legima, when you take a drink, so it brings people together. So legima zerosios megillah. So that's that. That the megillah, it's supposed to bring Jews together, but not bringing together of holos. That's not the bringing together. It's the bringing together of mitoch halev, that we're makabel machas shemayim, that we're makabel the Torah, that we're mistakel klapei mala, we're mishabed halev. So shizochem it's Hashem. Have a very similar to Kippurim. Tamid. 1, 2, 3, 4. Do it, Hashem, mezim ra'eh. 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 Do it, Hashem, mezim ra'eh.